I actually opened this in advance, and now I f***ing closed it.
Matt,
Dick.
Matt. Anyway, your mate Matt wants a shout out.
Which mate, Matt?
Matt John Holmes.
Oh, Holmes. Oh, right. Does he?
Yeah, on Twitter. I said, about to record the 250th podcast, and he just said, give me a shout out. And I was just like...
No.
No.
Like, Matt.
Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 250. My word, that's a big number. I am your host, James Gilmore, and joining me for this little soiree, we have Peter Willington.
Hi.
Hello there, and Keith Andrew.
Hello.
Hey, jumped in there nice and quick this time, because we all know each other. No need for formalities.
No, no, none at all. Not after 250 episodes of us doing this together.
I know, all of which I've been present for.
Yep, me too.
You may not have heard. I may have sounded like about six other hosts at the time, but trust me, it was all my own work.
Yeah,
that's a big number.
It's 250,000.
Yes, indeed. Matt says that is true. Well done, you. And you, I think, actually, out of everyone, probably, I don't know whether it's Keith or you who's been present for longer.
I think, because Keith was on the podcast that the first podcast I was on, Keith was already on and didn't sound like he was new. So, I think
how
Keith
did
is...
you determine that, then?
Well, because
I used to cry a lot.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
There was only sniffling when you came on, so...
Exactly. So I think Keith is currently the longest-serving member of the podcast.
Wowzers. I'm a noob compared to you two.
Well, yeah, we don't... I mean, we didn't want to say anything, but yeah. We just thought... Yeah,
but I have editing control, so I get to make you sound like dicks in the edit.
I do that fine by myself, thanks. You don't need to put me
out. That's true. All the ums and ers that I usually do, I cut out and I insert in between your sentences.
Because it's definitely you that says a lot.
Seriously, like podcasts start off at about like an hour 30, and then they end up being about an hour, and 30 minutes of that is probably just
Have you thought of putting those together for like a special?
that's when they do those episodes in sitcoms where they can't be bothered to write a new episode, so they do a flash episode.
We should do
one of those where we...
Hey, do you remember when this happened?
Yeah. Really. And then we just play 10 minutes of an old podcast. I just hate it.
They did a similar thing in the show Dragon Ball Z, where there was a timer until a planet was going to self-destruct, and there was something like 5 minutes. But because Akira Toriyama hadn't finished doing all of the manga, they had to stretch the final fight out because the animators didn't know how it was going to end. And so this five-minute fight takes like five episodes. 25 minutes.
They often do in anime, though, because they're very fond of the jump into the air and then sort of freeze frame, slow motion thing, Matrix style, and therefore, you know, one punch takes half an hour. It's a really good punch, though.
Yeah, no, well...
Oh, yeah, before we go on, I've got something I need to try out. There was a...
All right.
Hang on, bear with me for a second. I need to see if this works. I've got it on good authority that this will work. Peter, tell me if you feel anything funny, okay? Shiny, happy badgers eating hands! Anything?
No,
is he dead?
No, nothing.
Didn't work. Oh, never mind. Oh, no, I got a message from Will. Will Wilson, former podcast host.
Oh.
Will Wilson, who learned of your news that you were approaching your 100th podcast or some such thing, and nearing his record.
Yeah.
So he told me that the kill switch to instantly eliminate you was shiny, happy badgers eating hands.
Oh, he's such a fool. That's not to eliminate me. That's my code word to turn on so that now I have to go and kill Barack Obama.
Oh, you've activated your sleeper agent bit.
Oh, silly racist.
I hope the NSA don't listen to these podcasts. Actually, I hope they do. But
it'd be nice if the NSA were listening, wouldn't it? If you're part of the special forces, get in touch.
I would be very offended if I'm not being spied on in some way, because I do some crazy shit.
Yeah, but anyone who says that, that's the kind of people you don't want to be interested in. They go, oh my god, I'm like so crazy.
Yeah, I wear like a those are the worst. Indoors all the time.
I am hilarious.
Exactly. Well, Will says congratulations, and he's very sad to hear of your part.
I didn't get any code word from Mr. Wilson whenever I did 100, whenever that was.
Take it up with Will.
So this is what I think about Will Wilson.
He's caused a scene. He's caused a scene, and he's not even on the podcast.
Good work, Will. Good work. Anyway, moving on. Race cars and that. Okay, updates this week. What have we got? Fast and Furious 6, the game, has got some new modes and stuff. We actually gave it a silver award in the end. I think John was playing it for like weeks in an effort to review it, I seem to remember.
Yeah, because it's a game from Kabam, isn't it? So I think he was doing a big thing with Kabam at one point.
Doing a big thing.
He was doing a big. I think wasn't there a big bit of coverage on Biz about Kabam or something like that, or because he was the one who sort of introduced me to CSI. He sort of mentioned it when I was back in the early days of me being on the podcast. Yeah, like this, you know, the name CSR was sort of like kicking around, and he sort of introduced me to it. So like, maybe he's a fan of drag racing.
I think he drags something. I think.
Yeah, I think I heard him say something about drag.
It makes sense because Fast and Furious 6 is another sort of freemium type game, which is modelled loosely, I would say, on CSR. It's got the same kind of drag race, tap to shift gears, and all of that. It's got a new update 3.2.0 to be precise, and what it adds is two new race modes. So you've got Race Wars Trials, which gives you extra races to try different skills out on and all that, and Drift Circuit, which obviously makes you go and do drift laps and skidding around like a crazy person with scant regard for the condition of your tyres. You can also tune your car to reach target speeds with the terminal speed update thing. And apparently you can win an actual 1970s Dodge Charger. Hang on, is that an actual Dodge Charger or just
a, no, can't be,
a rubbishy digital one? I don't know, maybe. I don't know, you have to download it and find out. That's not an endorsement, I haven't played it and I don't know. But you can do if you want to, so crack on there. This is the first instance of Broken Sword Bants we will be having this week.
Broken Sword Bants?
Yes, that's a thing. Broken Sword 2, The Smoking Mirror, remastered, has been slashed in price. It is down from, I think, about £2, £3 to 69p. Or 99 cents. That's the point and click sequel to the classic Broken Sword, as dreamt up by those folks over at Revolution Software, of which I think Mr. Andrew is a fan.
I am. I am a big fan. Not particularly. No, number two's all right.
Yeah.
I say all right. It's good, but it's not as good as the first one.
Yeah, okay, fine. We nearly had enough falling out then.
Hackles up so soon, Peter. Mm. Don't worry, there'll be plenty of time for a recompense later on in the podcast. Mm-hmm-hmm. So yeah, if you fancy picking up the sequel, you can get it a bit cheap right now. Won't be for long, so grab it if you're interested. And finally, Into the Dead, which we were talking about last week, because we were discussing spooky games. Mm-hmm. And it was a first-person sort of horror, endless runner thing. Which involves you charging through a field filled with zombies. It's got an update which seems to be inspired by the latest craze that is sweeping video games. Previously it was zombies. Everything had to have zombies in it. Now, everything's got to have a dog in it.
What? Why is this a thing?
Is this Call of Duty or is this Fable?
Well, you had Fable, perhaps arguably kicked off the thing. And then that Call of Duty trailer appeared where it's like, focused on the dog, the amazing dog physics and superb dog graphics and general doggishness of the engine. The dog engine, I believe they call it, which powers so many dogs. Now Into the Dead has got doggies in it. You can choose from a selection of doggies. And what you do is, because you're charging headfirst through the fields, you can stick the dog out in front of you and he runs on ahead and presumably like scares off the zombies or maybe takes a chunk out of a couple of them or something like that. What I particularly liked about this is they've got the picture up in the article, which you can see on the site. All the dogs have names. So you've got Blitz, the dog. You've got Cairo, the dog, which is quite international. I like that. Titan and my favourite, an Alsatian called Prince.
I don't really like the chances of Fluffy the Chihuahua on this list. I'm not a massive. I don't think it's going to do well.
The zombie we'd probably ignore because there's not much meat on the bone. Is there?
Are these the kind of zombies that will just eat flesh like The Walking Dead, or are they the kind of zombies that eat only human flesh?
I think they're the kind of zombies that eat mostly sweet corn.
Right.
They're arguably less threatening, unless you happen to be a vegetarian or a farmer.
Or that green giant guy on the front of the cans.
Yeah, that's true. He freaks right out. Yeah. These dogs have to be bought, though. So you can buy them for about £1.50 each, which seems a bit dear given the game is free to play. Or you can buy them in one big doggy bag.
No.
That wasn't me. I'm blaming Mark for that. For £3.99. So yeah, you can buy a bunch of dogs for £4. I don't know. I can't say I'm that inspired, but it's there. It's happening. My duty is to inform, and you have been. So there. A while back, we done a story about Cut the Rope 2. There have been several iterations of Cut the Rope, where he goes and hangs out with a professor, and one where he goes time travelling and all of that, but we had been waiting for the actual real Cut the Rope sequel to be announced. And lo, it was, about a month or two ago. ZeptiLab said, yep, we're doing Cut the Rope 2. Didn't say much about it, just the fact that it's the game with a number at the end. However, there was a talk at GDC Next, and I assume ZeptiLab were present, and apparently Omnom will be going rogue.
Okay.
Now, I read that sentence and I was like, going rogue? Is he going to be like Tom Clancy? Is he going Splinter Cell?
Going rouge, maybe.
Oh, could be rouge. That's true. I might be misreading. He's either wearing a crushed red velvet cape, or he's got one of those, like, goggles on with the three green glowy bits that see in the dark, and he's hanging upside down from the ceiling as I speak. Turns out it's neither of those things. All they're saying is that previously he's been stuck in them boxes. This time, however, he's going to break free of the confines of his little eight-walled cage. And he's going to roam. We're not sure what he's going to do when he roams.
This doesn't mean it's going to be a platformer, does it?
I would be surprised if it was. But, you know, it could be.
This sounds like... What was that film in... the early 90s where a baby is going around New York City and like gets into like hijinks and there's two criminal guys.
Now, I never saw it because fail, but I do know it's written by the guy who wrote Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller's Day Off and John Hughes.
I'm looking at his filmography right now.
Keith is cheating. He's a writer on it, not a director. But is it Baby's Day Out?
Baby's Day Out.
Yeah, what? Baby's Day Out. It sounds like... That was a good movie. It sounds like like Baby's Day Out, except for with Omnom, which to me just sounds like a 10 out of 10 straight away.
Right there. Yeah. Well, we don't know. I mean, I imagine it's got to keep the same sort of basic gameplay dynamics. He's still going to be cutting ropes and collecting candies, but maybe he can move about a bit. I don't know. Maybe a bit of a platformer involved? It would be a big breakaway if they did. A bold move for ZeptiLabs with their, what is their sort of flagship franchise? We don't know. But as I say, just a little teaser there.
They're damned if they do, if they're damned if they don't, really. Because if they just serve up one that's incredibly, you know, the same game, essentially, but more levels, then people will go, oh, well, I've already played this.
Yeah.
But if they do something radical and actually make it a completely different game that people don't like... then they've hurt the franchise, really, haven't they?
So diehards will revolt.
Hard to know whether to stick or twist, really.
Well, twist, obviously. Like you did last summer. Okay, I'll leave that where it is. Away from little monsters and towards damaged weaponry. We've talked about Broken Sword very quickly, and we're going to talk about it some more now. Broken Sword 5, which is subtitled The Serpent's Curse, and was kick-started into existence... was it last year? Late last year?
Yes, it was.
I've checked with Keith, because Keith, you were part of the Kickstarter.
This is the only thing I've ever kickstarted, yeah.
Yeah. Is there a time difference here? Are we picking up where 4 left off or whatever? Or is it a big
jump? It's just after, isn't it? It's just
the timing on them is a bit sort of... It's up in the air, isn't it? Like, he just says, like, Paris in the Fall. It's not Paris in the Fall... 1994.
Yeah, because they don't have things like mobiles and stuff like that. So
it's just modern, isn't it? I think there is a passage of time, though, I believe, because I think in number 4, which I haven't played because apparently it's bobbins, But like, there is supposedly a big passage of time where George and Nico just don't talk.
There's kind of a big gap in between all of them, actually. There's kind of little things that go on in between. You kind of get in the opening videos, as it were. Mm. Number four is not Bobbins, though, I have to say. People don't like number three. I like number three.
I thought four was 100% Bobbins.
No, it's all right. It's not a classic, but it's quite good. Three was the one where it wasn't quite point and click, and it was you actually physically walked around, and it was on consoles and stuff.
Was that four the one that was on PS1?
No, it was on PS2.
No, that wasn't that one. No.
Well, it turns out this one will be coming to iOS and Android soon after the PC edition. That's the quote. The PC one comes out on December 4th, so we're assuming it's going to come out maybe a couple of weeks, certainly before Christmas, so it won't be too long before you can finally continue the adventures of George and Nico. It's going to be released in two parts. So we're going to get the first part like in December-ish, and apparently the second episode's due for release in January. Let's see if that slips, if they're still working on it, who knows. Ended up earning $800,000.
Which isn't bad.
That's pretty good.
It isn't bad. The question that I think a lot of these Kickstarters are going to kind of fall down on, distributing the Android version, easy. Easy peasy. You just give everybody an APK. For people who want an iOS version, basically Apple's terms of service mean that you can't create a separate store outside of the App Store, right? Mm. So whether or not they class Kickstarter as that...
At the moment you can't do it.
You just can't distribute iOS things. So if somebody's going, oh yeah, we'll have the iOS version and say I'll put my money down, they might well be out of luck.
This is what
the guy behind Fist of Awesome had to do, because he did
Nickel.
Do it. He had to just make it free on iOS for a while and hope that everyone who'd paid went and got it while it was free.
Oh, was that the reasoning? Oh.
But of course, a lot of other people went and got it as well.
So it's
hard to know. It's surprising considering how much of a boom there was about Kickstarter that Apple haven't come to some arrangement, but they haven't. So it does make it very difficult to... Who knows what they would do in that regard.
I guess it's not so much in their interests to support a way to give away more free games without getting anything out of it themselves.
They'd have to officially come to some kind of thing with Kickstarter where they got some kind of revenue share. Otherwise, they won't be interested.
There are supposedly third-party companies that deal specifically in brokering deals with Apple where you get more codes. Like, you can get lots and lots and lots of codes, but you have to pay Apple for them, I think, in some way. So unless they're going to take a hit in the money, like in the amount of money that they've made, I think these people might be plumb out of luck.
Did you ask for it on Android or PC or what?
Well, I don't have an Android, but I think I'd probably play it on PC, to be honest.
Then you're all right. That's all that matters. Everyone else can just...
You need to devote time to Broken Sword. You can't play it on the bus. You need to sit.
That's true. That's
immerse
true.
Yourself.
There's been a few of those recently where I've been doing reviews of games, and it's like we had a burst of ones that were brilliant to play in short kind of periods. Just pick up 5 minutes, put it down. But recently, things like Papa Sangre 2, like we were talking about last week or the week before, you really need to be like devote sort of 15 minutes, half an hour of standing in a dark room with no one else around you to play it, which is kind of unusual and sort of contrary to what you would think the mobile device is best utilized for. But they sort of work anyway. Well, there's been some really good short pick up and play ones this week, though, which we'll be talking about. They're very excited, Rayman fans. All right, let's talk briefly before we go into new stuff about, and this is going to shock listeners to their very core, let's talk about an Android handset.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, well, as I know, you've just got a new iPhone, Peter.
I do.
You have. And I've just got a new iPhone as well. Mm-hmm. My first ever iPhone, actually. Mm-hmm. Because my Galaxy S2 was about 2.5 years old and dying horribly. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get a 4S nice and cheap. I don't like paying lots of money for my phones. I don't use them very much. I'd like to get, you know, a new brand new like 5S or 5C or something. But I refuse to pay like over 25 quid per month for something which, you know, I barely use at all, really. So I got a 4S. I'm like an old fashioned. Plus, controversially, I think it's the best looking iPhone out of all the iPhones.
It was the same.
It was the one. It's the one with the glass back, and the, it's a bit bigger. It's a bit chunkier. It feels heavier. It doesn't look plasticky.
Mm. I've got the 4S that's sitting in my hand right now, yep. And I like it. I think it's really well made. I think it's sturdy. I think it's a quality bit of hardware design.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also got a 5C, and it's in yellow, so it's the best.
Well, I suppose actually Keith would agree with you because he likes
no,
all that.
Not that yellow.
Oh, right.
Yellow is like vomit. Oh. No,
but
it's like weak banana medicine. That yellow.
Yeah, I love it. Everybody says banana medicine, and I liked banana medicine. Anyway,
it was better than the strawberry medicine. To be fair,
To come back to the point about the Nexus 5 that we're about to talk about, my partner got a Nexus 5 at the same time. And I've had a quick go on that as well.
Well, first of all, we've put up a little kind of first impressions thing. We haven't given it the full review yet because we like to spend a bit of time with the handsets because, you know, stuff comes up when you use it over a period of weeks and it's worth checking it out properly and thoroughly. But we've got some first impressions. My first impression is it's big. It's really, really big.
Yes,
massively big. Going from the S2, which was kind of about, you know, four and a half inches or something. And then you go to the S3, that was much bigger. Then the S4, which was a little bit bigger, the Galaxy phones. And then this is bigger than all of them. It's 5 inches across, and it's getting into that sort of, that god-awful, what do they call them, Phablets, or...
What's the other... Oh, there's another word, isn't there?
What do they call them, the Galaxy Notes? What's the term for those? Are they phablets, technically?
Yeah, they're phablets.
Yeah, right. Such awful nonsense words. Anyway, it's a big old thing. The Nexus 4 was obviously a bit chunky, but this is much bigger. They've just been released, apparently. John's first impression of it, our sort of hardware guy, says it doesn't look or feel anything like as special as the Nexus 4. Because, I mean, I have mucked about with the Nexus 4, and it had, like the iPhone 4S, had the nice kind of glass backing, felt very weighty and solid. Nexus 5, cheap sort of look-feeling plastic.
Who made the 4?
LG. They're both made by LG.
So this is, I was going to say, because LG are a bit naff. So, but
I didn't know. The Nexus 4 felt kind of solid and quite nice. Mm. It had the big Gorilla Glass front and the back, as I say, a bit shiny, but it had a glass backing, and that always feels... It gives it a kind of feeling of quality. And as soon as you replace that with a plastic back, a la, not the iPhone 5, because it was technically aluminium, but it felt lighter and cheaper. But certainly you've got the 5C, and that actually is actual plastic, isn't it?
Mm, yeah, and I like it. Feels more like a toy.
But do you want it to feel like a toy, though?
Yeah, why not? Like I think there's a lot of emphasis by people who refute tech products, and I'm sure Jonathan probably copped to this. Like there's a lot of emphasis on, you know, the tech and the grunts and the power and being brand new and being serious hardware and all this sort of stuff. And sure. It's absolutely got its place, and that's why I got a 4S. You know, I think that stuff's fine.
Mm.
Like, but I think at the same time, there's also a place for fun little, you know, technology is meant to be fun as well. You're meant to enjoy yourself with it. And
and speaking practically, plastic is better because it doesn't scratch or break in the way that a metal case does.
Yeah.
Mm. So I don't know why there's any snobbery or anything. People who don't have plastic phones should be the ones being taking the mick out of, really, because it's a daft thing to get that's coming in out in your pocket every day, and you drop it and blah, 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 it's going to get scratched. And everyone, you remember when the 4 first came out and it was all scuffing around the edges and blah, blah, blah. You think, well, it's a metal phone that they've kind of painted.
And you've got, and you're going to get a naff case for £2 down the market anyway, aren't you? Like, you know.
Actually, that's where I had to sort of draw the line, because I've got a case for the 4S, but I've got one of those clear ones so that you can still see it. It seemed, because Apple, these products are clearly like design feature things. Mm. They're designed, you know, so much time is spent making them look good. And then, as you say, people then whack a £2 case on the back of it, black, and it just covers the whole thing up and seems a little bit pointless in the end. You're right. But no, I know people went meh at the 5C, and my only issue was the price. It seemed too expensive given what it was. But the actual look of them, like, I didn't mind the colours. I think the it does look a bit fun and a bit perky and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice looking in the 5S, but the colours they've chosen are a bit weak. It's a bit wishy.
I wish the yellow was a little bit deeper.
Exactly. You want it to be yellow, you know.
Yeah, I want it to be Lumia yellow.
Exactly. That is the colour.
They probably have patented that leather, yellow. It's...
Yeah, probably.
What else does John say? He says, obviously, 5-inch display. It has got the new Android, so that's Android KitKat. Yeah, that joke's getting old.
You see, what's funny about that is that when in the same way that people were drawn to Apple back in the day when Windows PCs were, you know, the top dog, and people would say, "Oh, I'm sticking it to the man. I'm getting an Apple Mac and all this." And in the same way, when Android came along with its kind of awkward look and funny logo and blah, 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 everyone thought, "Oh, you know, I'm going to get Android because it's you know, it's not corporate, it's not this, that, and the other." And they've just signed this huge deal to brand it with, you know, a confectionery, and you just think, yeah, they're just as bad as Apple, exactly the same. You know, it amuses me that in a kind of sneery, snobby kind of way.
Especially branding it with a Nestle product, which is
I've had lots of people don't like that, do they?
Ethical issues in the past, yes, absolutely. Oh God, well,
it's a long time ago.
It's all fine. They died ages ago.
Well, I always say to people, it's impossible. You cannot possibly not buy a Nestle product. You couldn't.
You cannot.
You have a look at the brands they own. You could not live in a Western world and not. You don't even know. You know that some of the brands they own. They don't even make public. You know, it's huge. It's like saying, "I'm not going to buy Procter and Gamble," or "I'm not going to buy Unilever." You just can't. They own everything.
Well, everything's owned by GE anyway, so found it.
Yeah, and also, have you noticed on American dollar bills, there's a little pyramid with a little eye on it?
Oh yeah, I totally saw that. It's all the Freemasons and the.
It's Nestle.
Oh, is it? It's the Eye of Nestle.
Yeah.
It's like the Eye of Sauron, only chocolatier.
Yeah, well, I thought that was meant to be the end of the world, wasn't it? It's Nestle, the end of the world.
Yeah.
Well, I do prefer Cadbury's myself. But...
How long has your girlfriend had it for, Peter?
She's had it for a few days. We could get her on if you want. No, yeah, she's had it a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And battery seems fine. Does it seem fine, Alex? Yeah, she's nodding.
Excellent. Yeah,
the battery's fine.
Have you had little phone wars yet?
We've had little phone wars. I'm actually quite jealous. It's a really nice phone.
Yeah.
I've got an Android tablet, and I really like the improvements. Well, we've talked about it on the show before. Like, I really like the way the Google Play Store is like set up and all that, all of that good stuff. And actually, like, Android is starting to get parity now with like the big games that are coming out.
Yep.
And that phone like runs them absolutely beautifully. It has got so much grunt underneath the hood.
And that almighty screen is quite fun for gaming.
It's beautiful.
Something I noticed, because I recently got an iPod 5th generation for recording me videos, because it's the proper 16:9 format and therefore fills up a proper, you know, 16:9 video. Because previously I've been doing it with the iPad, and that's, I think, 2:3. It's not 4:3, 2:3, I think. And so you end up with the black bars and it looks a bit shabby. So now AppSpy is fully 16:9, finally. I've been pushing for that for ages. But going from a Galaxy S2 to the like iPhone or iPod Touch, you do notice that it's a little tiny screen. So small the screen. Even the 16:9 ones on the iPhone 5S or 5C, still so small.
So small.
Yeah, so I have taken a little getting used to. I nearly bought the Nexus 4 several times, but every time I went to the store it was out of stock and has been for months.
They're discontinuing it, aren't they, I think?
I think they're discontinuing the 8-gig one. I thought they were keeping the 16-gig one.
Oh, right.
And then flogging that for 200, and then, you know, the Nexus 5 is what, like 300? 295? Something like that?
Nexus 5 is £200. Oh, no, 300.
I think 200 quid. Well, you'll have to report back, because you've got the household where you've got the actual wars going on. The two newest design evolutions from both rival companies there. So I predict a bitter... split between the
we've
two.
Already fought, we've already fallen out.
Have you? Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
It runs Android. I don't know if you know, but it's got Android on it.
Oh, stop it.
About this week, we have got loads of stuff for you across multiple platforms. Good stuff too. We'll start off with Rayman Fiesta Run, which is the sequel to Rayman Jungle Run, one of the best auto runners of the last year, and actually one of the best auto runners on the whole App Store. I've been playing it this week and reviewed it for AppSpy. I'm going to talk about it later on. You can get it for £1.99 or $2.99. Stick around, because it's really, really worth finding out about it. I quite like it. It's really good. Also, Sorcery Part 2, them adventure novels, choose your own adventure novels from the 80s, where you turn to a page and he says there's a bloke there and he's got a stick and he's waving it in your face. Do you A, want to smack it out of his hand and stick it in his face, turn to page 54, or do you C, walk away and, you know, go and make a sandwich? This is why I don't write these books, because they would be very
short. Won't be a very good story at all.
Dull. But they have converted a few of them to iOS, and they actually recently converted Sorcery, which is an old one of the original guy, Steve Jackson. Mm. He's like CEO of some gigantic company.
Well, he used to be in charge of Games Workshop.
That's it. That's
Yeah, he used to do that. He also owns the company that puts out Munchkin, which is a massive, massive game. Like, it's a sort of D&D game that's stripped back and all about cards, effectively. Right. You just kind of draw cards and you build the world around it. It's actually surprisingly popular.
Well, he used to do these adventure books, and one of his older ones got turned into a full-on iOS app, which was actually really, really rather good. It was called Sorcery! Exclamation point, and they came out with a very clever little system for the combat, where you're sort of dragging characters back and forwards to determine how powerful their attack is going to be. It was a neat way of getting around dice rolls, because obviously you can't do that with your iOS device. But the maps were lovely, the adventures really well written, and it was great fun. The first chapter was released earlier on in the year. Now, the second chapter has just come out. You can get it for £2.99, $4.99. It's worth, obviously, doing the first one if you're going to... Don't jump in at the second chapter because you don't know what the hell is going on. This one takes place in the walled city of Khare, K-H-A-R-E. So you've got new buildings, sewers to explore, new gods and monsters. There's a bit of a gambling game called Swindlestones you can play. It's a whole thing. First one was good. Might be fun. Sorcery Part 2, £2.99 or $4.99. What else were we talking about recently? Ah, yes! Star Wars Tiny Death Star. Now, I've played about 35 seconds of this so far, because I booted it up on the iPod Touch and realized it was in portrait mode, and I was like, nope, I'm going to play this on the iPad, because it's all too tiny. This is essentially Tiny Tower, only with Darth Vader in it, which is cool, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it really just is Tiny Tower. It's essentially a reskin, but the only difference is it's populated now with characters from the Star Wars universe. That's obviously going to appeal to a whole bunch of people. People get really tied into Tiny Tower. I've seen like mumblings about it, even just on Twitter today when it came out. People going, ooh, another Star Wars.
Now, here's my main concern. I do have a main concern. If you're building a Death Star...
Yes.
None of those... I mean, they don't have the best track records, do they? It's like building the Titanic 2.
That's true. Well, they did that one Death Star, and then it went kaflooey. And then they got about two-thirds of the way through the second one. And
that didn't work out either.
Kaflooey. I'm assuming it's taking place before Jedi, or as Jedi's going on in the canon, because it looks like the semi-complete one in Jedi. So all those bits where it's focusing on Endor, with Luke and Han standing by a tree for an hour, we've just got to assume that back on the Death Star... Darth is like arranging apartments and being like, that azalea and that lamp, switch them round. Yeah, nice. Yeah. It looks like it's been done with a lot of care and attention. All the insignias, all the pixel art versions of all the characters look to be done really well. And presumably, if you like Tiny Tower, then this is going to scratch that itch. But it's got Jawas and that in it. So there you go. It's free to download right now. Star Wars Tiny Death Star. Go for it. This one I'll mention because it's kind of got some historical leanings. Dwice, which is a horrible name. I know.
Did you sneeze?
Yeah, well, it's not the name that interests me, but the person behind the game. Dwice is a puzzler from Alexei Pajitnov.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't recognize the name, he's the geezer who made Tetris.
It's made Tetris.
And yeah, only
I thought
Tetris
just existed. I know. Just there.
It's omnipresent and omnipotent. It just hovers in the background throughout the whole of time. No, there was actually a time when there was no Tetris. And then this geezer, Alexei Pajitnov, popped into existence and thought, some blocks. It's a bit descending. Thing at the bottom. Boom, 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 boom. And the most popular game in the world. Now, he's done one other game for iOS as well. I forget what it is, but I think Pocket Gamer reviewed it and weren't that taken with it.
Yeah, yeah. And his other major release was Hexic.
Okay.
Which was a downloadable for the 360. He's also, I think he's back with the Tetris company now, or he owns the Tetris company. Or
oh, really? Because like didn't it get like taken off him by the Russian government?
Yeah, well, when he created it, because he was doing it under the USSR, everything was owned by the state.
Yeah.
So he created Tetris and therefore it was owned by the state. And he got the rights back eventually. There's a brilliant story about it, actually. There's a book about the creation of Tetris and it is utterly, utterly fascinating. I forget the name of it now.
If you put loads of those books in a line on a shelf, do they all vanish?
Oh, no. Yeah, nicely done. He's an interesting guy, but the problem with his kind of output is that he's a bit like Ralph Byer in that, like, he's really important, but he hasn't actually done that much.
He ain't prolific, is he?
No, he's not prolific. And when he is doing new stuff, it's like, yeah, this is quite good. Like, he's never quite on top of it. But you know what? This has got a nice name, so maybe I'll play it.
Really, I think it's got a silly name. I've actually played this. It's got a Tetris vibe to it. Instead of blocks falling, tetronomos falling from the top of the screen, you've got like geometric shapes. So you've got squares and triangles and circles. It's basically like someone's ripped the buttons off of a PlayStation controller, and they're now falling down the screen. What you do is you need to get rid of all the geometric shapes from the screen. So, for example, if you want to get rid of all the squares, put your finger on a square and then drag that square through all the other squares you can see on screen and release, and they'll all vanish. Which seems very simple, and it is, but when the screen starts getting really busy, you have to avoid touching any other geometric shape or you will die. So that's where the trickiness comes in. You pick it up, and within 15 seconds, you're like, oh yeah, I get this. This is quite good. I don't know how much longevity it's going to have. I've only played it for about sort of 10 minutes or so. And it works. It's all right. You can see the sort of Tetris DNA baked into it. We'll have to see how it stands up to long term playing, but you can get it right now. It's £1.49 or $1.99, and that's Dwice.
Oh, can we keep calling it that?
All right then. A couple more. We'll do some also rans. Traveller's Tale stood up in a conference at one point, and they gave out this little flyer which gave their speculative releases for 2014, and amongst them was the Star Wars Lego games. Well, Bilbo Baggins and Frodo and all of the Fellowship people appear to have beaten Skywalker and co. to it. Lego The Lord of the Rings came out today. You can get it right now. It's £2.99 or $4.99, and it's a Lego game!
It is.
I mean, I think it got alright reviews. Got about an 8 out of 10. More of the same, only this time, instead of little Star Wars and figures and blasters, you've got little hobbits and enchanted rings and that.
Right, so I've played it twice. I played it on Vita and I played it on 360.
Get you.
The interesting thing is that they missed the opportunity to have four players. Like, they just...
Really?
They like... And I was just like, guys, this is simple stuff. Like,
maybe you should have given them a ring and told them about it. That then you could have lorded it over them.
Oh, there's more. You're getting me back for that Tetris joke now, aren't you?
I'm out of it now.
Thank goodness. Yeah, that is a shame. You would have thought four players would have been a no-brainer, but apparently not. You can't do that on your iOS things anyway. But they do control surprisingly okay. They did two control techniques, I seem to remember, with the Batman, Lego Batman DC Super Heroes 2 or whatever it is, the most recent one. You had a couple of different control methods. You could use the old floating joysticks and buttons, or you could do a sort of swipe thing. Both of which worked okay. It's always a bit of a compromise, but they were fine. They worked just fine. And they're just light, fun, you know, entertaining things to pick up. They do pretty good conversions. We'll have a review up, I think, by the time you listen to this podcast. If you don't care about reviews and you love Frodo so much, you love him more than Sam, and you look at him sort of lustily through the TV screen when you're watching the Blu-ray.
That's kind of what Sam did, isn't it? Kind of,
yeah. I think it was mutual.
Yeah.
They had a special connection. In a cupboard when no one was looking. It's £2.99, £4.99. You can grab it right now. That sorts out the iOS stuff. But before we move on, the 3DS has some notable games coming out for it. Firstly, Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate comes out in Europe. It's a tie-in to the Batman Arkham Origin console game, but rather than it being a third-person wander-around brawler, kick the crap out of everyone, it's like a side-scrolling sort of Metroidvania-style game, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very good, and I think my review will be online by this point. So it's very, very good.
You like it, yeah?
Yeah, it scored very highly. It's the Castlevania game you want on Vita and or 3DS that you haven't got this year. So
badass.
Yeah, it's very good.
I heard some disconcerting rumblings from people during previews going...
A friend of mine really, really took a disliking to it, but I think it's it doesn't hold your hand with anything, and it won't help you. Like it's not very. Sometimes you just kind of have to figure out the logic of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But like for people who want a Metroidvania game, I think they'll go cool. Like they'll enjoy that. It is a prequel, like Batman Arkham Origins, so there is important story in there.
Blackgate's another asylum, isn't it?
It's a prison that is basically, I think it's on, I want to say it's on Rikers Island, and it houses all of the criminals who are not deemed insane.
Okie dokie. Yes. Just mean.
Just meanies.
It's a meanitentiary. Okay, fantastic. Well, I don't have a Vita, but I'm almost more interested in playing that than I am actual Batman Arkham Origins. I cannot muster the care. I really, really liked Arkham Asylum, thought it was great, thought Arkham City was blah. Mm-hmm. Like, bigger, open world and everything, but made it feel more aimless and directionless. The pacing was all off.
This is really compact, and like, there are three separate areas, but you kind of choose to go to them as menus. Like, it doesn't faff about with the big city or anything like that. Okay. But it is the Arkham Asylum gameplay of going around looking at things and working stuff out and using your bat scanner and all that sort of stuff, transposed to a 2D, but 3D engine game. It's very good.
Right on. Well, you can get it right now, £34.99. I think you can download it, or I think there's a physical release as well, I suspect. Really? The other big 3DS release is Professor Layton and the Azran Legacy, which is the sixth and final game in the Layton series. If you are a Layton person, it's the 3DS's sort of puzzle, cutesy puzzle brain teasing franchise, in which you play as Professor Layton's helper. At least you did at the beginning. It's been a while since I played them, and help him solve little mysteries, sort of lateral thinking, logic puzzles, that kind of thing. Apparently, this is the last one, but it's ending on a high because apparently it's well good. It's got a lot of cool little non-linear storylines, and you can get it right now. You can download it for £39.99, but you'll probably find it cheaper in a shop, so probably do that, you know. Yeah.
Come sit upon the throne of games.
Here we are again. It's the chamber wherein lies the throne of games, etc., etc. Peter!
Yeah?
You can get up. Get on it.
This is the time that I do talk about a game. Good. I'll definitely do that.
And just a game and nothing else.
We've
discussed this before.
Yeah. No. The official guide to Pocket Trains is from Steel Media. That's the people who pay our bills.
Wait!
I've got on the throne. And basically, it's a guide to Pocket Trains. You know those people... All right, Keith.
Keith's had an event on the other end.
I like your description. It's very descriptive.
You know those people, what did Tiny Death Star? Well, they did Pocket Trains beforehand, and it's a pretty good video game about trains and pixels. And we've decided to create a guide with them, so it's an official release, all about the game, like lots of information about it, how it got made and all that good stuff, but most importantly, how you can progress really quickly in the game. It's got lots of interactive elements. It's really beautifully presented because it's by Joao, the man with the nice moustache.
The now award-nominated Joao.
Mm. So, you know, these are really well put together guides. The difference, fair listeners, is that you used to only be able to get it on iPad, but this is a universal app.
Huzzah!
Huzzah indeed. So for those...
We finally stopped being so racist.
Oh, racist to iPhone towards iPhones. So if you own an iPad or an iPhone and you've got 69 pence or 99 cents burning a hole in your pocket, and you also have Pocket Trains, then you can go and download this. Now, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome little guide, and if you're into the game...
69p?
I do believe so.
That sounds like a bargain to me.
Yes, Keith. 99 cents. I mean, I would pay... What would you pay for this, Keith? I would pay...
Well, I personally don't get paid enough to pay anything. So
no, yeah, you
people,
do.
If people could download this, then I might get some money.
Free? That's right. About a tenner, Keith. You would, wouldn't you? Ah. Oh.
I'm not even going to interject. I'm just listening to you half-hearted shill stuff.
No, it is, if you're not into Pocket Trains, don't get it, because it's got nothing for you.
No,
but if you are, then, you know, some money well spent.
Indeed.
Do you want me to talk about a game, or shall I let somebody else talk?
No. Talk about an actual game. What have you been playing this week? What is of interest?
All right. So I've been playing Papa Pear Saga, which is the new game from King.
Papa Pear Saga. What's that then? That doesn't sound like a game.
Well, it does. It is a game. And it is from, I don't know, listener, if you've heard of it, but it's a game called Candy Crush Saga, and it's quite popular.
Good Lord.
Yes. So this is their next game, and it's a, let's not mince words, it's Peggle.
Ah, they've done Peggle this time.
Yeah, they've done Peggle this time. So instead of doing Bejeweled, they decided to go with Peggle. But it does some interesting spins on Peggle. The physics feel different. It takes the PopCap ethos of constantly rewarding you and constantly giving you like nice little bonuses and points for failing effectively, and a sweet soundtrack and a positive vibe and everyone's smiling and happy and, you know, all of this good stuff. It takes that and it just runs with it. Like, okay. You know, it does the King treatment and it makes it over the top, and it's wonderful. It works really well, and it never feels corny. It feels really legitimate. It feels like it's just got a really truthful and honest, like genuine sense of fun and playfulness. And because it's not got that random element that a match three puzzler like Candy Crush has, each level feels completable. It doesn't feel like, well, could I have ever beaten this level? It feels like, okay, I screwed up. You know, so there's, the, you know, it feels a lot more like if I make a mistake, then I make a mistake and I lose a life, then that's fine. Whereas with Candy Crush, sometimes there is this niggling doubt at the back of your mind. It's like, am I losing because I'm actually not very good, or am I losing because the game would like me to spend some money now?
Yeah.
I have not paid a penny for it, and I am burning through it. Like
it's free to play then, yes?
Completely free to play, and
either that or he's stolen it.
Yeah. Either that or, yeah, exactly.
he's a reviewist. Reviewists get codes now and then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and little money hats. That hasn't arrived yet, but but we sometimes give, and I'm not talking about PG. I'm talking about critics and that sort of thing generally. But I think we kind of give King a short shrift sometimes, because we kind of go, well, they just did a take on match three and it just happened to be successful. But actually, I've been back to that game and having played Papa Bear Saga, you know, they do upbeat and welcoming casual games like so much better. Like, this is what Rovio used to be amazing at. And now they're just kind of doing the same thing, and it's working for them. And they're doing, you know, clearly. But King are the undisputed of this. Like, it's just so brilliant to play, and yeah, I mean, yes, so it's not any more than Peggle. Like, you are firing a ball at pins,
sure,
to remove them from play, and there are multipliers and there are bonuses and there are things that you can in this case you can pay for them. So like Bjorn the Unicorn in Peggle would have this special shot where you could see where it was going to go next.
Yeah.
I think it was Bjorn the Unicorn, and in this one, you know, you can pay X amount of money to have a number of those power-ups, and that feels a little bit like, well, I don't really need that. But saying that, I don't really need that, you know. It's not for me. A lot of the challenge is just getting through it, you know, and trying not to spend any money. Spoilers, I think it's going to get a very high score. I'm midway through the review at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes out, this is your new jam. If you were into Candy Crush, this is the new one that everybody, you're going to see everybody playing this on the train, on their commute to work. It is the perfect casual game.
Oh, there you go, something to look forward to if you are someone's mum.
This was the week that they actually released Candy Crush Candy, which they hadn't done.
They've done what? Have we? Hold on.
Oh yeah, that's right. The big no-brainer move there. They've actually released real-life sweets, candy. Candy Crush candy is now a thing you can buy in a sweet shop.
Have we got a reviewer on this?
Yes, John is sucking his way through the review as we speak.
Our MD actually does have some, but he hasn't said if they're nice or not. So at the moment, I think they're only available in the US. So
get some sent. I'll tell you what, guys. I'll take the brunt on that review if you want.
That's very good of you. Nice one. Okay, right. Actually, sticking with the whole food theme, I'm going to talk about Rayman Fiesta Run. Now, Rayman Jungle Run was a game that came out last year. It was an auto runner, which Ubisoft had knocked up using, in collaboration with a bunch of guys called Pasta Games, but using all their UBR assets from the console game. So it basically looked like the console, kind of Rayman Origins and Rayman Legend, looked like that, only on your smartphone. And it looked stunningly good, and it played beautifully. It was an excellent example of a level-based auto-runner that makes you feel like you're progressing and gives you a reason to push forward, doesn't feel like endless, pointless grind. So you, Peter, went to see this a few months ago and got a hands-on preview with it and sort of gave tentative, like, oh, it looks pretty good and everything, but there are these, like, power-ups you can buy and that. Mm. And I was like, oh, no, no, don't make it all free-to-play and horrible. Well, it turns out it's not free-to-play and horrible. It is a premium game, and those little payments don't really impact it. So, rather than it being set in a kind of jungly, foresty environment like the first one, it has been moved into this kind of like Mexican-themed vibe, basically. So everything's based around cooking and food. So you've got these chili levels where everything's, you're swinging off chili vines and you're running past bubbling pots and you're jumping off big, bouncy, scary chorizo things and being attacked by flame-breathing lizard chefs. And then it goes into these ice levels where it's basically like you're inside a kind of massive cocktail. I mean, it looks like icebergs and everything, but all the stuff you're jumping off of, like limes and bits of fruit and everything. So it's clearly kind of got like a cocktail vibe to it. And there's levels built around cheese and level built around what looks like chocolate or something. So it's a whole food thing. There are levels in which you get shrunk down to a little tiny size, so a little micro Rayman. You get sucked through this trumpet, which has shrinking abilities because Mexico, I don't know. And then you bundle your way through as a little tiny, tiny Rayman, and all the looms, the little things you collect, end up being massive, and you have to jog your way through them. It's very much the same mechanics as before, so you are still one tap to jump on one side of the screen. Eventually, as you work your way through, you unlock other abilities, so you can punch after a few levels, and so you'll need that to batter your way through some foes. Then you learn to fly, so Rayman can hover, he'll spin his little ears around or whatever. I forget what he does, his hat, his hair, something like that. And if you're playing as one of his friends, Blotox, I forget what his bloody name is, the big frog-looking bugger, he flaps his arms really, really fast. And also you get a wall run ability, so you can dash just up vertical surfaces and along the ceilings and everything, and that kind of adds extra elements to the later levels and makes things a bit more tough and, you know, yeah, more stuff to manage. It's strung together slightly differently this time. Before, you had like four batches of 10 levels. You played 9 straight levels, and then you played one of those Land of the Living Dead episodes at the end, which was a timed run, which was hard as nails. This time, it's this kind of snaking open map, where you collect all the limbs at the end of the level, that unlocks 4 little prisoner dudes, and they count as like unlocking tokens, and you kind of move your way along this map, like you're playing Snakes and Ladders or something. So it kind of unlocks 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and every kind of at increments, it'll unlock a bunch of levels, and then a boss, and then a bunch more levels, and so on. But you can play them in any order, and if you play them through and perfect them, then it unlocks a harder version of that level. So it's kind of the same level design, but with extra beasties, and suddenly flame pops out the sides and it all looks a bit scary and creepy. So it's got this whole wide array of content that is constantly shifting. It seems to, it doesn't progress like you've got 10, say, for example, chili levels and then 10 ice levels or something. They're all mixed up, and it's a really nice way of keeping things fresh. So every time you go to the next level, it's something different. It's in a different environment. You can potentially have a different character. They also get unlocked as you go through. So it's constantly throwing new things at you, like even more so than Jungle Run. The gameplay is still massively fun. I mean, I kind of came off the back of playing, Bit Trip Run, which was really good on the PC, apparently, but on iOS, it's got this horrible lag, like a couple of microseconds lag to when you press it and when the character actually jumps. And perhaps if I hadn't been playing Rayman, I wouldn't have noticed, but Rayman is so kind of instantaneous. The reaction to your inputs are just like, bam, and it feels so direct. You're in such great control of what's going on that Bit Trip felt horribly slow and laggy and horrible. It maintains all of that. It's still great fun to play. The power-ups, you can use them, but you don't have to. I haven't really used any. I used a couple to try it out, but I don't know, maybe if you're really, really struggling, you can use them. But there are only a few leaderboards in there for the Land of the Living Dead episodes, and you can't use any power-ups on that if you want to get on the leaderboard, so that sorts out that issue, potentially, about paying to win or paying to climb leaderboards. And even if you do want to use a load of them, the looms, they give you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them to unlock characters and unlock the art that you get and pay for the things. You get like thousands of looms, and each of the power-ups costs like 10 or 20 or 30, So the economy is really cheap. It's really in your favor. So you don't at all feel like you have to add any extra money to it. It gives you all the limbs you need. That's great for me as a player. That's how I feel that an in-game economy should be. But I'm not sure if that's great for free-to-play people. But it's a premium game. You pay £1.99 for it, or $2.99. So that's as it should be.
So are those additional payments just kind of for people who don't have much time? Is that
well, maybe. Like, if you wanted to buy the game and then immediately, before you even play, unlock everything, then you could you pay it. But
there
pay for
are
half
people
an hour
who do that.
You could do that, but there's no reason to do it, really, unless you have zero time to play the game at all. But if you play the game, it will progress and you will unlock things just like you would any normal premium title. And, you know, that's more of a fun way to play it because you feel like you're earning rewards for your progress, which is sort of what, you know, game progress is all about. And it's incredibly rewarding. It's as fun as the previous one. It's got more going on in it. I was concerned that it would be either a rehash and have nothing new, or it would be horribly filled with IAPs and nasty stuff like that. Neither of those things are true. It's really, really, really good fun. It's beautiful to look at. It's great fun to play. And you should totally get it, guys. Rayman Fiesta Run, it's called. £1.99, $2.99. Do it! It's great. Which leaves us with Keith.
Hello.
Hello there. What have you been playing games?
Well, actually, I would like to reference the game I played last week briefly.
Oh yes, yes. You've got something of a retraction to make, haven't you?
Well, I spent last week talking about there being a fine line between the kind of Clash of Clans management type game and actually a game.
Yeah.
And initially having played what I played last week, Friendly Fire, for only a few hours at the time, it erred far more towards the management side than the actual game side. Mm. But having become especially addicted to it throughout the days that followed, it's definitely a game. And actually, kind of tying into what you're saying, it is a game where the only benefit of paying out really is saving time. And that's not necessarily what you want to do. Sure. So I've been rather impressed with it and I'm enjoying it a lot and was victorious in every single battle until I faced sometime podcaster John's little hive that he's built, and it was impenetrable, and I lost humiliatingly twice trying to destroy his base.
He likes those games though, John, doesn't he? He's good at them.
Well, he's a bit of a cheat though, because he's put his base in St. Lucia on a particularly hard, because it's all based on real, you know, the real world. So you most people put their base by their house because that's where it takes you initially. So my base is literally on the street I live in, and it's not an easy to defend layout. But the one that he's gone for is some random road layout in St. Lucia, which is incredibly hard to break into. So he's a little bit of a cheat, but it's not going to change your life. But I was, it did grow on me over the course of the week, and I did spend quite a bit of money on it actually.
Well,
so
that's one of the reasons Pocket Gamer does these kind of extended freemium reviews. I mean, that's what Peter does, where you come back and you do a first impressions, and you wait a few days and do another, and then do another, because they are difficult to review.
I'm not sure that's necessarily. I don't mean that review thing. I mean a game taking that long to sink in, I'm not sure is a good thing, especially when they're free, because people just take it off. But yeah, I think people who want that kind of management game, and there are lots of people playing it around the world, so you can fight all kinds of people. I would recommend it.
Right on.
This week, and I may end up doing the same thing, because I've only briefly been playing the game, my game this week, which is Legend-Derry. Spelt D-A-R-Y, so it's kind of more Legend-Darry, isn't it?
Oh, right, so not the place in Ireland.
No, not Derry, no. Not Derry or Londonderry, depending on your political persuasion. Anyway, Legendary. Let's just call it Legendary. And it is a 69p, which is, I don't know if I mentioned this, but 69p sounds like a very good value for...
That 69p, well, it depends what it's for, really. If it was a guide, for example.
Yeah, no, I think that's very good value. In this case, I don't know. I mean, it's a 2D kind of pixel art kind of platformer. And it starts off, it's quite tongue-in-cheek, and this kind of king guy is stood there, and he tells you he wants you to go on a mission, and the bloke you play as doesn't seem that bothered until he mentions that if you go and get, I think you meant to get a dragon's horn at the end of the game, you basically get to shack up with his daughter, the princess, And he's not too keen until the king says quite bizarrely that she's quite hot, which is wrong for many reasons. But yeah, so there, off you go, and it's one of those games which, to my mind, is kind of they're rife on the App Store in that it's an old school 2D platformer where you have a gun and you shoot the baddies that come towards you and you jump over them with a jump button. And it's built in the way that means it's not the easiest, so you're going to die a few times on each level before you kind of work out how's the best way to navigate your way through these laser beams or jump over those spikes or games like that. I've kind of done to a death when I was younger and don't really see the appeal of anymore, especially if they just literally are run, jump, shoot, which has been done forever and a day. And I don't know, there's just something irked me about the way the game opened with this kind of, I suppose it's meant to be funny, nonchalant kind of, oh, I'm sending you on a quest and you can, you know, you can be with my daughter in the way that, you know, lots of games in the old days were about, you know.
You think it's supposed to be ironic or something?
Yeah, it's meant to be, but it just seems a bit lazy.
Okay.
And I don't know, I kind of want a bit of inspiration for a game like this. I want a genuine reason why, even if it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, that I'm actually playing it, and that it isn't the greatest opening, to be honest.
Well, you're right in as much as they are 10 a penny. I mean, like, Orange Pixel does loads of them with Gunslugs and Meganoid and all that, and Ravenous Games does League of Evil.
Yeah, League of Evil is the one of those that I really liked because it was funny. It found the right balance between being hard and fun.
Mm.
And it kind of was on the crest of the wave back then.
Yeah.
But, I mean, was that 2 years ago now? We've come a long way since
the tide has gone out.
And it feels like, A, the kind of design look this has gone for, that old school look, is kind of done a death, and it has some especially annoying loud music of old as well playing in the background. And
you're guessing the volume of the music.
Well, it just seemed to just blast out of my speakers out of nowhere, but I just kind of think we've done that. Yeah, okay, we've done that. I just don't know if I want to play another 2D platformer when I'm running around jumping and shooting things. So I don't know. I'll be playing it for several days yet.
Well, let me know what happens when you get the horn.
I may do a complete 360. I don't think I'll ever get the horn. I may do a complete 360. I've never said that before. and love it and make another attraction in a week's time. But I don't know. I am less confident about that.
Keith's weekly fickle reviews where he disses it and then turns around and actually likes it later.
Well, see, if they send me gifts or money, then, you know, I change my opinion quite quickly.
I see. So. Very good. Very bribeable is Keith.
I like sandwiches.
Fantastic. All right, then. Well, thank you, everybody, for your opinionizing on games. And thank you, listeners, for sticking with us through another podcast. We're all going to be coming back next week for more of your favorite game-related stuff and everything. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter, because that it's growing. It's growing quite a bit. Get on board. There's a big old community there now. We're very excited. And join us again for another episode of the podcast. See you next week, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.